Hey, Lance, thanks for having me on. Tim Keller. Tim Keller. Yep. Yeah, and we're all about making friends and bringing about unity. We have all these crocodile tears in our culture, especially from those in the evangelical world. You mentioned some of the names who are like, "Oh, can't we just, can't we get along?" And we have to stop this, they call derisively the culture war theology, and stop breaking out in these political camps where one is the children of light and one is the children of darkness. And on it goes. We even had, as you talked about, those woke "He Gets Us" ads during the Super Bowl, and say Jesus didn't preach, hate. He preached love, and we don't want to. Politics has been used to inflame our cultural divisions, and we just want to bring people together and just speak about that message of Jesus and that message of unity. And it begs the question: is polarization, which is being bemoaned, always wrong? And I would say no. I would say there, obviously, we want people to have a unity, but what are you uniting behind? And that's always the key question. If we're uniting behind a Christian consensus on how to direct the affairs of not just our government, but our family and our churches and our communities, then sure, let's have unity, and we should invite people into it and explain or try to make our case and persuade people. But that's not what we have today. We have deep cultural divisions and political divisions for a very good reason. It's because the highest office in the land, Lance, as you know, is literally trying to trash America's youth. We have governing schools. Yeah, the gospel is inherently divisive in that it demarcates right from wrong very clearly. And we shouldn't be surprised because it's all throughout the Bible, Old and New Testament, where God's people were persecuted because they were standing up for truth. But you have these Christians today, they're like, oh, they love to throw out the word winsome. Oh, we got to be winsome. And I'm not saying in embracing polarization, you want to be a loudmouth jerk and belligerent and all that. But what I am saying, and Christians and Christians who follow you and are devoted listeners to your show and your podcast, Lance, know that we should be speaking out on social media and in churches and in city council meetings and in town halls. And yet there are a number of these so-called Christian leaders out there with big platforms who are trying to discourage Christian activism and engagement in the public sector because they say, well, it's not winsome, or it's not uniting, or it's going to deepen our cultural divisions. And they want us, and it, what that is just a euphemism for giving up. They just want to give up. We should start calling them cowards for Christ, because that's what they are. They are cowards. It is a misrepresentation. The good shepherd is what? It's supposed to protect his sheep from the wolves. And yet here we have the cowardly shepherd who is just not only not protecting the sheep from the wolves, but is leading them to a wolf's den. And it's okay to go ahead and speak the truth and worry about the consequences. And not only just in biblical history, but just in recent history, we have men like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, right, who was literally plotting to assassinate Hitler. He was talking about Jewish persecution at the hands of the Nazis. Should he not have done that because it wasn't winsome and he may have offended the sensibilities of his Nazi neighbors or William Wilberforce? I mean, he certainly unsettled the plantation owners and the feelings of the merchants when he talked about banning the Atlantic slave trade. Should he not have done that because it was polarizing, which it definitely was in that time? Or Martin Luther King, his movements cried for civil rights. Should he not have done it because, you know, all those people were kind of getting used to Jim Crow and they liked the different water patterns for whites and blacks and the different schools for whites and blacks. And he shouldn't have really rocked the boat in that matter because it wasn't winsome. It was polarizing for his time. And the point is, the gospel is polarizing because it's a moral claim, as you know, for the entirety of society. And that was so maddening with these Christian leaders who should know better. They should know better, but they don't want to get sullied in politics because we don't have the right candidates, or, you know, it's a little dirty and messy. Yeah, it's the East Rockford Middle School District, and it's a case that's now being litigated by our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom. And the basic details of the case is a couple's daughter was struggling academically, emotionally 2 years ago, and the school, and she's been going to the school since kindergarten, so they were familiar with the staff, with the teachers, the psychologists, and said, hey, our daughter's not doing well. Turns out she was diagnosed with autism. And she was seeing a therapist at the school. During these therapy sessions, she allegedly expressed signs of gender dysphoria. And rather than relay this critical information back to the parents, what the school did is they hid it from the parents. Then they started referring to the girl, she was in sixth grade, I think, at the time, as a boy. They changed her gay, gave her a masculine name, started to change her pronouns on all school records. And then when they would send information home back to the parents, they made it seem like nothing was amiss. They put the girl's real name, her real pronouns. So they basically try to transition this girl behind the parents' back, giving her graphic, you know, gay stuff to read, talking about chest binders, you know, her female body is developing. trying to transition this girl behind the parents' back. The parents find out because a psychologist accidentally sends the wrong information back home to the parents, referring to the girl as a boy. The parents say, hey, listen, you got to, like, they're firmly, Adam, you got to refer to our girl as a girl and not a boy. The school refuses. They say, well, no, your daughter's wishes here trump your parental rights. So they yank the girl from the school. They are suing now the school district. But it's emblematic of what we're dealing with across America with government schools, especially in these, you find them even in red districts too. So it's not just a red or blue thing. You have government. Yeah. They can get it at standingforfreedom.com. I write for Liberty University. It's one of their publications. Or they can just follow me on social media, Jason Matera, the handle on Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or wherever they get it. No, they are evangelists as well. And think about how insane this all is. Is we're saying a reasonable proposition here that a school system or teachers, if they want to talk to young girls about duct taping their chests, well, maybe should get the parental notification and parental admission first. And school says, no, we're just going to usurp this. But that's what the left is doing. The left is after our kids. If you're a Christian and have your kids still in government schools, I don't know why. But if you do, you certainly should be involved in making sure that this isn't coming to them and in their classroom. But To bring it back to our first segment is when you have these Christian leaders like John Maxwell and others who say, oh, you don't want to talk about politics from the pulpit now. You may upset the congregation or congregational rifts. You just want to talk about Jesus. Okay, fine. You talk about Jesus. You have a conversion. Someone now accepts Jesus Christ as a Lord and Savior. Now what? What are you going to do about government schools and government teachers who are trying to trans kids behind their parents' back? Do you say, well, you know, that's not a gospel issue now. I can't talk about that. I can't deal with that. That is divisive. Or do you take it now a moral stance and say that as this new nature, as this new creation, I have an obligation, I have an ethical duty to ensure that I'm loving my neighbor properly. And loving my neighbor means not transing his kid behind his back and setting them up for irreversible surgeries. We have a cultural war in this country for a reason. You have states like California, Minnesota, New York is on the cusp of creating what are called these transgender sanctuary laws, where not only do they provide this, these irreversible transgender surgeries, but they're like a safe haven. So if like you have Texas or some other red state that has banned the procedure, they're like, no, come here. It's almost like they want to lure kids over to their state to ruin their lives forever. So should Christians not talk about this from the pulpit? Should Christians not talk about this at city council meetings and even get upset and have a righteous indignation? Because Lance, I could be wrong, Lance, but I remember this guy, I think his name was Jesus. He said something about if you corrupt one of these little ones, speaking of pigs, it would be better if what? You put a millstone around your neck and you took a cold plunge into an ocean? Because that's the type of evil we're dealing with here. And Christians need to know the score. Yeah, you're on. Yeah, they're living in a different time period in their minds. We no longer have this neutral playing field, right? There was because of a Christian consensus, but now we have a hostile playing field, and there's someone's worldview, someone's morality is going to be driving public policy. And we have the right and we have the responsibility and civic duty as Christians under our Constitution, right? Our Caesar, right? To go ahead and make our voices heard. We have protests that we're seeing in Cuba going on right now, hundreds of people taking to the streets because they're tired of the food shortages and the rolling blackouts and the political subjugation. They're saying, down with communism. I've been to Cuba and seen the oppression firsthand. It is, then when you come back, you realize how much you take for granted with just being able to go to the ballot box and say, you know what, this person may not be perfect, but his worldview pretty much aligns with mine, and I'm going to support it. I'm gonna make my case why I support him. And we have far too many pastors who have the pulpit, and they're going to act as cowards in that process by not saying, "Hey, listen, you know, we may have two candidates who are faulty in many ways and have character flaws, but guess what? We're not dealing with candidates here. We're dealing with administrations, and one administration will protect your religious liberty." They will not try to trans your kid behind your back. They will try to keep taxes low and have a limited scope for government and try to uphold the Constitution. While the other one is going to micromanage every area of your life, from telling you what type of car to drive to banning your gas and stoves, from trying to tell adoption agencies that this is what the Biden administration is doing now, telling adoption agencies that if an LGBT kid is placed in a home, the parents must abide by every single one of his wishes, even if it means his irreversible surgery. It is a complete usurpation of the jurisdiction and power of family by the left, and it is currently represented by the Biden administration. It's not really a hard choice. It shouldn't be a hard choice for any Christian today. You know what the score is. You know what the scale is. Go ahead, voice your opinion. Lay out the case. To the people in your church. And if some people leave, so what? If there's a congregational rift over the right reason, over supporting biblical truths, so what? It's like these people lack faith, Lance. It's like they're so afraid. They think that their power and prestige or the numbers are going to dwindle out of their church because they say something controversial. So what? Your numbers dwindle. Do you have faith in God that God's going to restore those numbers or bring the right people or bring the quality to you? Well, if we know that our we have a political dysfunction culture today, it is politically a mess. And if we can see a dysfunctional culture, it's amazing to me that people would say, "No, we don't want Christianity in that. We don't want." If you look at the political mess we're in today, it's the first place you think you would want Christian principles embedded to go ahead and clear that and bring a level of morality and truth to it. So we just need more bold leaders, and we need more people listening to your show and others like it to get the encouragement and the ammunition to go ahead and advance. I hate the term Christian nationalism. Well, it's basically how it's defined. Every Christian is a Christian nationalist, but it's worked all about the kingdom. And this is one way about advancing the kingdom. Politics is one small way, one small sliver in God's kingdom, but it's still part of God's kingdom. The government is accountable to God. Yeah, government is accountable to God and education and family and church, all part of God's government.